study this evening, the Lord willing, on Sunday, 2 Peter chapter 4. Says godly men will be as this. He says in verse 5, these would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Thinking about going out to a job site where houses are being built, and you have different stages of the building. Maybe one have been framed. You can walk through that framed house and say, well, there's where the kitchen will be, there's where the laundry will be, or the bedrooms. But then you walk next door to a fully built house, and there it is for real. Here would be one, a house that's just a form of a house, not really a substance. There would be some who would have a semblance of religion and give lip service, as he says, like these men, Jannes and Jambres. Some who would have, in some way, a type of faith, a type of religion, but the religion didn't affect their life. Think about James chapter 1, verse 27. They had a form of it, but not really anything to change or to make their life any different. James 1, 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, himself unspotted from the world. So here is a type of religion that will change what we do and how we act. The gospel should change our lives so that we can be truly reverent, truly devoted to God. In Romans chapter 12, not just have a form of godliness, do we just simply go to church? But our religion doesn't really affect how we speak and how we act and how we feel and how what we do. Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed, have our minds renewed by the Word of God, and look to the Word of God, which is revealed by the Holy Spirit, as we'll see, and let that change our lives. Not just have a form of godliness and deny the power to change us and to save us. From such turn away, Paul says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't be partakers with them in the things that they do. Like in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul describes ungodliness and says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Children of disobedience will come to destruction. Don't go along with them. And in 2 John verse 10, don't give them Godspeed. Don't help them out in what they do. So here would be some in the latter days who would have a form of godliness. They're not really practicing the true religion. Don't help them out. Don't go along with them. In verses 6 through 9, Paul said, men such as this resist the truth and they're not going to succeed. He says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, if we seek the truth, we will find. It's a promise. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus made the promise, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. We go through the book of Acts and see some who were seeking God, those like the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, like Lydia, like others who were reading and studying and doing what they felt was right. And you see how that God would lead someone to them. They were seeking the truth and they would find. Here would be some that Paul writes of who would learn, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are we really seeking? Because if we seek, we will find the truth. If we want to know the truth, we'll find it. But I think rather, as he shows in verse 4, these who were never able to come to the knowledge of the truth were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We understand that that's not going to help us find the truth. Look back to 2 Thessalonians. We had studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy, and now we're 2 Timothy. But here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, speaking about this, a certain one who would come with these different lying wonders, he would deceive people. He says, with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They didn't love the truth. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. God will help them out. You don't want to believe the truth? Here's something that you can follow. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, to have pleasure in unrighteousness. So when we have pleasure in unrighteousness, we don't love the truth, we won't find it. God does promise that if we truly seek, we'll find it. Here, son, Paul says, difficult times are coming. Men will be like this. They'll be lovers of their own selves. They'll have a form of godliness. They'll be lovers of pleasure, learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They'll be like, he says, these men in verse 8, Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses. But before we talk about that, any comments or questions?
Numbers chapter 12.
up for Moses. You know, he was his spokesman. And so here would be another instance of someone rising up against Moses, but God showing that, no, Moses is approved. He is from me. In Numbers chapter 16, remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? In Numbers chapter 16, they rebelled against Moses. It says in verse 3, Moses and spoke against Moses and Aaron and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" Moses, Aaron, why do you think you're special? Everyone's good. And so they, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, rose up against Moses, but they understood in the end. Remember how that the earth swallowed them up? And we see in not done them of my own mind. If these men die, the common death of all men, or if they be visited with the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open their mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. So the men like Jannes and Jambres and others who withstood Moses came to nothing. So also does anyone who would resist the truth. And so Paul's saying, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Men are going to have a form of religion, a form of godliness, but if they resist the truth, we know that they will come to nothing. We don't want to stand with them. We don't want to help them out. Comments or questions? But in contrast to this, let's read about the Apostle Paul's life. 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul is telling Timothy. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. James, I know that as my boys get on to me for liking the word thoroughly there in verse 17, as the King James would put it, instead of maybe thoroughly, as another version would say. The man of God may be perfect, he'll be complete, thoroughly furnished into all of the works. The Scriptures give us that. You know, in contrast to these verses, like in the first six verses, those who had a form of godliness, Timothy knew Paul's character, how he had suffered for true godliness. Timothy knew, as we see here, and in verse 10, Timothy knew Paul's doctrine, how he taught, his manner of life, his conduct, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, his love, his patience, how that he persevered and came through these persecutions and afflictions. In Acts chapter 13 and 14, Paul refers to these persecutions and afflictions at Antioch and Pisidia, Iconium and Lystra. We see those in Acts chapter 13 and 14. Let's just briefly look at that a moment. In Acts chapter 13, beginning about verse 14, it says, When they had departed from Perga, and came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Paul stood up and taught them. And he has a long lesson. But down in verse 50, after Paul taught these men of the city, it says the Jews stirred up the devout about the Jews and in Christ Jesus. We might live godly according to some other standard. standard, but if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. In verse 15, Paul said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Think back to the first chapter of the book of 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Paul called to remembrance, thinking about Timothy, called to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the pure faith that was in him, which dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And so he had known the Scriptures from a child. So the Old Testament here is Scripture. The Old Testament is Scripture. Paul's writings, we know, are Scripture. Thinking about 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. Speaking about Paul's writings, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest and twist, as they do also the other Scriptures. So Paul's writings are Scripture. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. God gave these men the knowledge of what to write. Of course, through the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Know in this verse that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So men, prophets of old, for example, spoke as the Holy Spirit moved them and told them what to say. Prophecy of Scripture is not of any private interpretation, because God gave him, told him what to say, what to write, and God meant only one thing by that. It was from him, not them. It's from God, not man. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read a few verses. Apostle Paul is describing his gospel, his teaching, and where it came from. He says, "But God hath revealed them," or the mystery that he spoke about. "God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him?" So you don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking, except you would tell me. "No man knows the things of a man save the Spirit of the man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." So God, if he wanted to know, let us know what he was thinking, his Spirit revealed it, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So the Holy Ghost taught in words. So the apostles, they received the words to write. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God gave these men and told them what to write. And just a side point in regard to inspiration. You know, something does not have to originate from the mind of God to be recorded by God. For example, God tells us what the devil said. That wasn't from God, we understand. But God told Matthew, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, he inspired Matthew to write what the devil said. The devil said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread," you know, during Jesus' temptation. So Matthew wrote by inspiration, but God gave him what to say, even though it might have been through someone else. He recorded perfectly how God wanted him to say it, what the devil said. And there, you know, there are questions that come up in different places, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But I would say, like in regard to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when Paul made the statement that she is happier than a woman who might not marry for the present distress, she will be happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So Paul, that chapter, that book, 1 Corinthians, is inspired of God. But here would be a judgment call that God said, all back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which were, it was by words which the Holy Spirit taught. So God gave the men what to write. Comments or questions?
Spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So if
about it. Like, if I want to be spiritual, if I want to be what God wants me to be, if I want to be a man of God, then I'll recognize that. How do I find it? How do I know what God wants me to do? From His Word. Psalm 119, 105. The psalmist said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. I know that the way of man is not in himself." Child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation.